السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Alhamdulillah, welcome everyone to today's webinar organized by the IOU Nigeria Plateau Sister Student Committee. My name is Sister Maha Khan and I am the Student Committee Officer at IOU. For those who may be new, the International Open University is dedicated to making Islamic and academic education accessible globally. We offer a wide range of programs, including bachelor's, master's, and diploma programs in various disciplines, as well as short courses designed to empower students and professionals around the world. Now, it is my pleasure to pass the mic to the chairperson of the IOU Plateau Sister Student Committee, Sister Maryam Ali Jamila, who will be our host for this event today. Sister Maryam, the floor is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, Sister Maha. Before we continue, I would like to ask Sister Maimuna Ismail to give us the opening prayer, please. Sister Maimuna?
Yes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, we can hear you. Please give us the opening prayer.
Okay. So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. So, we ask Almighty to guide us in this very session that we are going to start attending right now. We ask Lord, we thank Him for today. Let Him guide our minds in all that you say. Bless this session and let it be beneficial to we and the entire Muslim Ummah at large. Wa sallallahu alayhi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Thank you very much.
MashaAllah, thank you very much. I would now like to introduce our sister, Professor, that's our speaker for today. Her name is Professor Sakina Abdullah. She is a professor of pharmaceutical chemistry. Our professor was born around the mid-1980s, and she started her early primary school in Jos here together with us before she relocated to Zaria, where she did her secondary school and then university. She also had her master's and PhD all at ABU Zaria. After her working experience, she did her internship at the Ahmadu Bello University Teaching Hospital. And after that, she has been with the university since 2011, where she started as an assistant lecturer. And then she rose through the rank to become a professor in 2024. She served as departmental examination officer. In the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences. She has published over 30 articles in reputable journals, which are indexed in Scopus, and she has organized and attended more than 20. Sister Sakina, you.
Sister Maryam, your voice was not clear. Sister Maryam? Sister Mariam? Your voice broke up in between. We couldn't hear you while you were introducing the professor.
Okay, so you didn't hear the introduction?
Yes, sister, if you could just introduce her once again.
Okay, Sister Sakina is a professor of pharmaceutical chemistry. I said she started her early education here in Jos, where she attended Al Imam Primary School, but she moved to Zaria in Kaduna State, where she completed her secondary school and then had her undergraduate in pharmacy and had a master's and PhD also. And she has written more than 30 papers in reputable journals and has attended both local and international conferences. Sister Sakina is currently the deputy dean in her Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences. And we are happy and honored to have her. She's happily married with children. So, Sister Sakina, you have the floor. You can preach.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله We praise Allah We seek His help and His forgiveness We ask him to send his peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companion, and all those who follow his path until the day of judgment. My dear sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are we together?
Yes, we are together. Wa alaikum as-salam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, alhamdulillah. And it's a great honor being with you this evening to deliver a piece of nasiha. I'm also a student like everyone on this platform, I believe. But in Islam, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has enjoined us to give advice to one another. Even some verses, the verse of the Holy Quran says, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ There is nothing new I'm going to say today, but it's just a reminder. When we remind people, reminder will surely benefit the believer. So without wasting much time, I would like to start. But before then, I want to ask how many minutes I have for this presentation. That will enable me cut down on the things I want to say so that I will cover as much as possible. I don't know how many time I have. Sister Mariam Jamila?
You can have up to 30 minutes. It's a 1 hour session, so you can have up to 30, 40 minutes. Once you are done, then we can take questions.
So, alhamdulillah. Now, the topic goes like this. Leaving a legacy. What have you done for Islam on campus? Well, before I start the lecture, I would like to begin with a very simple but powerful question. When you leave campus where you are studying, what will you leave behind? Well, you may leave behind your notes, you may leave behind your hostel room, and you may leave behind what is most important is your memories. You are going to leave behind your memories. But I ask sisters in Islam, what will you leave behind for Islam to look at it and say, yes, this campus has ever witnessed a sister in Islam on campus? By this, I mean, Will people remember you as someone who strengthened Islam while on campus? Or will you simply be forgotten as someone who has passed through without any trace? Now, whatever we do in Islam, we should be guided by verses of the Holy Quran and authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah reminds us in the Quran, every soul shall taste death. In Quran 3, verse 185, as it reads, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ زَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Translated in English as, every soul shall taste death, and you will only be given your full compensation on the day of resurrection. Now, by this verse, we all know that death is certain. Nobody is doubting that. We all know that death is certain. Just like your graduation from the university is certain. Whenever you are given an admission into the university, you always look forward to a day you are going to graduate. So your graduation from the university is certain. Likewise, your whole life on earth is going to end one day just as you are graduating from the university. That means death is certain. Now, for your graduation to be certain from the university and death being certain as the end of your life on earth, it tells you that whatever you do, in whatever you engage in, whether good or bad, there is certainly going to be a departure to that. But what remains after your departure in everywhere you find yourself is your legacy. Your legacy is what you leave behind. Now, someone may want to ask, what is legacy? And what does legacy mean in Islam? Now, when we talk about legacy, just a common definition of a legacy is a lifelong toss which you leave behind after you have carried out something. The word legacy for most people is often seen as money. For example, when they say your parents are rich and they have departed the world and they have left behind a huge sum of money for you, which you see as a shield to a problem which you are likely to encounter. That is simply what people call legacy. It mustn't be a monetary property. It mustn't be a monetary item. Some people may see legacy as a property. Maybe your parents have left behind after their death some huge estates, which even if you sell one by one, you may feel before the end of your life you are not going to be in some poverty. Forgetting here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything, and He is the one to decide whether you are going to live in riches or the riches are going to live before you. A lot of people do not take this into consideration. When I begin to talk about this, we may be talking entirely about something, so I don't want to digress too much. For some people, legacy may also be a fame, what the Arabs usually call hasab. I hope you know at this point there is a difference between nasab and hasab. When you talk about nasab, you are talking about your generational tie. Maybe you are an English person or you are an Arabic person or what have you. But when you talk about hasab, you are talking about a family name which you see as a fame or a protection against something, or what you can simply use as in what in the modern day we call connection. You can simply use it as connection. That's why in the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was talking about the type of women that people marry, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about four categories of women. He said a woman can be married because of her beauty, because of the property she has, because of hasab. He didn't say nasab, because when you talk about hasab, you are talking about what your family were able to generate or get that makes you feel comfortable and respected between people, among people. And lastly, he talked about deen, and he said, I enjoy you to look at deen. whenever you intend to marry. I hope we are all together. Are we all together?
Yes, we can hear you.
Please, so that I will not keep asking whether we are together or not. Immediately, as soon as you lose me in the connection, please let me know so that I can stop talking, so that we don't miss the impact of the lecture. Now, that is a legacy as far as people are concerned. But in Islam, what is a legacy? My sisters in Islam, legacy is far deeper than all of the things I explained as far as Islam is concerned. How are we going to know this? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith of Muslim, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنِ آدَمِ إِنْ قَطَعَ أَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ سَلَاسٍ. He said, صَدَقَةُ الشَّارِيَةِ أَوْ إِلْمٌ يَنْتَفَوْ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٍ يَدُعُوا لَهُ. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person dies, all of his deeds come to an end except three: an ongoing charity, a beneficial knowledge, or a righteous child whom the dead person leaves behind that is going to pray for him. Now, why am I saying legacy is far deeper than what people think? All of these three things mentioned by the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are legacies which someone is going to leave. For example, if we talk about an ongoing charity, because we are all students, I do not expect that we are rich and buoyant enough to carry out what ulama simply explain as an ongoing charity. Because when our ulamas read this hadith and try to give a tafsir of it, they say an ongoing charity is when you are able to build, for example, a well, or you build a masjid which is going to be used by people, or a borehole which is going to be beneficial to people when you are not around. But as students, whenever the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks, you pick his wordings and put it on a scale that, or on a scale where you belong, so that you are going so that you take advantage of the words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as students, what do we take as an ongoing charity, especially for those that live on campus? An ongoing charity is a lot. For example, Dressing can be an ongoing charity. You know, because the campus is a formative stage of life, people are usually carried away by ways of the shaitan, wa iyaz billah. So people tend to bring about new things which they always want to take credit of. Now, when you were on campus, did you introduce a dress code that complies with the teachings of Islam, which a fellow sister, whether Muslima or non-Muslima, is going to pick it up and say, wow, this is a decent dressing. Let me dress the way so-so-so sister is dressing. If you do that and it continues, that is a legacy you are leaving on campus. Or are you the first female student to start smoking on campus? If you leave, whoever smokes on campus, you are going to get that. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith that whatever you engage in, that you are going to have a reward that is equal to the reward that is given to that person who does the work, without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreasing anything from that person's reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has source of...
Salaam alaikum, Sister Sakina. Brother Salif, can you mute, please? Johnny, can you mute, please?
Okay, ma.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. You can continue.
Sorry for that break in the discussion. So as I was saying, I said As a Muslima, did you introduce any bad attitude which you leave on campus and other people follow it? Remember Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whatever man dalla ala khayrin falahu ajlu mithlu fa'ilihi. Whenever you enjoy someone to do a good deed and he does it, you get a reward. Whenever you enjoy a person to do a bad deed and he does it, Allah will give him his sin, and then he will also take the same quantity of sin and give to you who taught the person how to do it. Now, this ongoing charity can go beyond that. Have you ever seen a sister on campus who does not pray? I mean the five daily prayers, when she is praying, she does not pray the way the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to pray. If you correct her on how to do it, whenever she prays rightly, using all of the methods the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used in praying, you are surely going to get a reward for that. That is that for an ongoing charity. The second of the deeds that will not end when a person dies is a beneficial knowledge. Alhamdulillah, when you are on campus, you should have some level of knowledge. And you should have some level of knowing how to disseminate that knowledge. Of course, in all courses, we give ourselves student tutorials. We coach our colleagues who do not understand the courses better. That is knowledge. Now, you now look it upon yourself. Do you have an edge in an Islamic knowledge over a particular sister who is from a background that is less Islamically oriented? Yes, you can pick a book, even if it is a simple book of Islamic jurisprudence, which is fiqh, and then you teach her how to perform tahara correctly, how to perform salah correctly. In fact, even teaching her how to meet her fellow Muslim sisters, you are going to get a reward for that whenever she does it. And then the third one is when you have a righteous child who you leave behind to pray for you. Alhamdulillah, we are all praying for that. May Allah give us children who are always going to remember us in their prayer. That means your true legacy, if you look at all of these hadiths, I'm trying to say that your true legacy is not what you owned. Just like the way people see it, that you own a property, you own a lot of money, and you own some fame. That is what people see as legacy. So when you take a look at these hadiths, you will see that true legacy is not really what you own. But true legacy is what you give out. Now, when you take yourself as a student or as a graduate of the university, when you leave the campus, you can see that all of your certificates you are going to get at the end of your study, which you are going to hang to the world, are not legacies. But what are the goodness you leave in people's hearts? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'ruf shay'an." You shouldn't belittle any good act any good act of deed you want to do. He said, "Walau an talqa akhaka biwajhi talqin." Even if it is meeting your fellow Muslim sister with a smiling face, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we shouldn't belittle that. Now, having talked about all of these legacies, why am I narrowing down the legacies you are leaving on campus? Well, number one, it is because we are students. And then secondly, it is because whoever passes through the university, his university years are going to matter a lot in his life. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, your years on campus are some of the most important years of your life. Because on campus, you are free to learn. You can learn, you can unlearn, and you can relearn when you are on campus. Your parents sees you as a matured person whom they have decided to leave on their own. So you are free to learn. It is now up to you. Do you learn a good thing or did you learn a bad thing? While you are on campus, you are free to organize. For some people, they can choose to organize ta'limat, short ta'limats where they bring, where they interact with people and show them the goodness of Islam. And for some people, they may choose to organize parties on campus, a weekend that passes without a particular group of people organizing a party. So it is now left up to you. You are free to organize either ta'alims or you are free to organize parties. Now, what do you organize? When you are on campus, you are also free to influence others. As we all know, when you are in the university, you spend a vast amount of your time with friends. If you keep good company, you have good deeds. If you keep bad companies of friends, you are usually influenced by what they do. Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. Whoever stays with a person is together with that person's attitude. Now, on university, when you live on campus in the university, you will see that you are able to set habits that will change your entire future. Because, like I mentioned earlier, the university is an important formative stage of your life. So if you don't stand up for Islam on campus, where you spend most of the formative stage of your life, please, my brothers and sisters in Islam, where do you think you are going to stand up for Islam, if not on campus? So if you don't build a legacy while you are on campus, my brothers and sisters, when do you intend to build any legacy? The friendships you form, the habits you build, the contributions you make, remember that they will not just end when you graduate. They will ripple on, and sometimes they will even ripple from generations to generations. Now, having said this, we would like to look at what kind of legacies can you leave on campus. The different legacies you are going to leave on campus are divided into several stages. Basically, I'm going to take four of these stages. There are more than four, but because I have limited time, I'm going to limit myself with only four. Number one, you can have a personal legacy. Number two, you can have an academic legacy. Number three, you can have a community legacy. And finally, you can have a spiritual legacy. Now, briefly, we are going to talk about each of them individually. For the personal legacy, like what I mentioned earlier, on a personal ground, you can choose to give some ta'alims to people. But what is most important as a student for a legacy you are going to leave on campus? Please, my brothers and sisters, every time you speak, make sure you speak truthfully. Every time you speak, that is number one, and that is the most important. Secondly, a legacy you can leave on campus on a personal ground is regarding your examination. As Muslims, brothers and sisters, please, we shouldn't be involved in any examination malpractice. So the legacy you are going to leave here is you should avoid cheating in examinations. These examinations could be as simple as assignments. They could be as simple as tests, which are all formative. And finally, they could add up the way you behave during your assignments, during your forum discussions, and during your continuous assessment test is going to translate to how your attitude is going to be at the summative stage of the final examination. Apart from that, that is very important, because when you are found cheating in the exam, you are not only embarrassing yourself, but you are bringing the whole of Islam into it. Especially if you have lecturers that are non-Muslim, they will be eager to associate you with your religion for doing that. That is very important, and we should take that into cognizance. And then maybe finally what I should be talking about regarding your personal legacy you are going to leave is how you treat people. Do you usually greet people with kindness? Like I mentioned, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Walau an talqa akhaka biwajhi talqin." Do you send out a smiling face when you see people? or you just frown your face as if nobody owes you anything, and then you just pass by without talking to people. So please, we should try and always greet people and treat them with kindness. When you do this, you are leaving a legacy. Finally, do your classmates see Islam in your action? Because when you say you are a Muslim, just like during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when some villagers came to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قالت الأعراب آمنا. When they came, they just told the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are mu'min, that we have believed in you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell them that not yet, you have not yet attained the level of becoming mu'min. At this point, you have only submitted yourself to Islam. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. At this point, you should just say, you are Muslims. Now, when you are Muslims, we should now see the reflection of Islam in you. Now, do your classmates see the reflection of Islam in all of your actions? When you are giving tests, do they see you cheat? When you talk, do they hear you speak about ill words, or you speak qawlan sadidan? That is very important. That is that for personal legacy. The second stage of legacy we'll be talking about is the academic legacy. When you excel academically, please, you should know that you are doing it to bring out the beauty of Islam. Because when you excel academically with integrity, you prove that Islam encourages excellence. And then by doing that, you also inspire others to work hard. Or did you compromise all of your values because of shortcuts? Because you are looking for shortcuts on how to just pass your exams and graduate. Did you compromise integrity? That is very important, and you should all ask yourself. Now, there is also what is known as community legacy. When I'm talking about community legacy, I'm not talking about your personal self or how you interact with your classmates. I am talking about the university in general. Alhamdulillah, I don't think there is any university so far so good where I live, actually. Well, this is an international organization. I wouldn't know how other countries operate. But here in Nigeria, alhamdulillah, there is no any university that operates without a Muslim student society. I'm sure Sister Jamila is going to bear witness with me here. So, at community level, look at it that, did you support the Muslim student society? How do you support the Muslim student society? When Muslim student society organize programs, do you attend? Or you only wait to attend programs that are organized by student union government, leaving behind those that are organized by Muslim student society? Remember, the excos of Muslim student society are also students like you, and they also have their academics to focus on, but they removed part of their time just to bring out the beauty of Islam by organizing such programs. I think the least you should do is by showing your presence in that program, which shows that you really, really support them. So, do you attend all of these programs? These are legacies you can leave for the community. Maybe you are in 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, or even postgraduate level. Now, how do you mentor younger students that are coming into the university? They mustn't be from your department. You could see them and you could render some assistance to them. You could have a friend that is from their department, and then you can join them with that your friend who is a senior colleague to them to guide them academically and spiritually. Now, if you also want to look at it in the sense that you are a bit knowledgeable and then you can create time for Islam. Now, did you start an initiative like a study cycle? Did you start any charity project? A charity project as simple as organizing an iftar for Muslim students during Ramadan. It's a very good charity because it will surprise you to know that fingers are not all equal, even with students in the university. Some are from a very rich background. Some are from a middle class, while some students, we are lecturers and we interact with some of these students. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you will not want to know how some students live on campus. Some students live on campus without knowing what to eat. As simple as an iftar program, if you organize during Ramadan, that will not open a door for other students to see who can afford a meal and who cannot afford a meal. Do you carry out campaigns on what is good across the campus? For example, you see people doing what is not right. You don't just keep quiet. Well, there are levels you are going to follow when you want to stop that. Just like what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you see what is not good, you can stop it with your hand. For most students, you cannot do that because you are a student, the other person is a student, and by the so-called rights people define, all of you have the right to behave the way you want to behave. So you may not be able to use your hand to correct him, but at least you can use your lips to correct that person. Give him a nasiha, an admonishment. This is not right. Stop. You can stop it, and you are better off by stopping it. If you are not able to do that, you can refuse it in your mind, but do not just say, I have no business with what someone is doing as long as I am not doing it. Remember, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُدَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Why? ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا. Allah told us in the Holy Quran that the people of Banu Israel were cursed on the lips of Musa and Isa alayhi salam simply because they do not stop their counterparts from doing what is not right. They see people doing what is not right and they do not stop them. Just like Ashabu Sabti, when they refused to go and take the fish, they didn't stop those that were going there. So when Allah turned out to punish them, it all resulted in it. So as much as possible, we should prevent a fitna that if it comes, it is not going to affect only those that brought the fitna to you. That's that for community. Now, what legacy can you leave at spiritual level? At spiritual level, you can leave a simple legacy on campus by helping to fill the congregation in the mosque while praying. Did you remember to pray? Yes. Did you remind your coursemate to go and pray? Did you establish a Quran class? Did you recite Quran today? Please, at this point, I would like to mention that no matter the course you are studying in the university and no matter how you think, there is no time for you. Please always spare a time to recite the Holy Quran. Even if it is a single page of the Holy Quran you recite first thing in the morning, at least to start your day with the Holy Quran, you are going to see a lot of natija as long as your stay on campus is. So I think I shouldn't say much about this. We can leave this for that, except if someone has a question at the end of the session, you now talk about it. Now, if you live on campus or you live in your house or you live anywhere without planning to leave any legacy if you depart this world, my brothers and sisters, you are simply living as a Muslim by name. You are living as a Muslim by name without performing any action. Now, what are the dangers of this? Sadly, some students pass through the university with no trace of Islam in their lives. Wa'iyazubillah. They are only Muslims by name. You see them attend parties, but you never see them attending prayers. When you talk or when you enjoy in any conversation with them, they leave behind you every joke. but they do not leave behind every good deed. So at this point, just imagine graduating with a flying color, but on the day of judgment, Allah asks you, what did you do for my deen? While you were given time, while you were given freedom, and while you were given youth. Please, remember, in an authentic hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة عند ربه حتى يسأل عن خمس عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وماذا عمل فيما علم. الله أكبر. Whenever I read or I ponder over this hadith, I remain with a cold heart. Now, Ibn Mas'ud report that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the son of Adam will not be dismissed from his Lord on the day of resurrection until he is questioned about five matters. Please, my brothers and sisters, this is worth writing so that every day you ponder upon these five matters, you should know that there is no way on the day of judgment one is going to lift off his leg from the Lord without being questioned about these five matters. Number one, he is going to be questioned about his life, how he lived it. How did you live your life on earth? Did you live your life on earth reciting the Holy Quran, enjoying good, forbidding bad, or did you live your life on earth moving around for parties? That is surely going to be asked on the day of judgment. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the second matter that will be asked is about his youth and how he expended it. Remember, we said the university is a formative stage of life. Almost all students in the university are youths. Now you will be asked, that's your youthful age, how did you expend it? He is also going to be asked about his wealth. This is usually the most difficult of them all, because in questioning about the wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask him how he earned that wealth and how he spent it. So earning your wealth through the halal way is not enough. You should also expend or spend it in the halal way. And lastly, he is going to be asked on how he acted upon the knowledge that was given to him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this last part is very frightening, because when we say he is going to be asked about how he acted upon the knowledge that is given to him, a lot of us will say we are only students, we are not ulamas, we don't have vast knowledge, so we are not likely to be asked about that. I want to tell you that even this lecture we are giving now as an admonishment is a knowledge that is being impacted upon someone. And surely on the day of Qiyamah, you will be asked, that lecture you listened on so-so-so date in the night, how have you put it into practice? Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah, may we all skill through all of this. So my brothers and sisters, you can see that the danger of becoming a Muslim just by name is, in fact, it cannot even be overemphasized. Because just imagine when you graduate with flying colors and then on the day of judgment you are asked about these five things and then you cannot provide an answer. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that a person who lives an enviable life, what I mean by an enviable life here in the world, a person who lives a life full of what people like simply because he belongs to the happening group, not the Islamic oriented group, on the day of judgment, if he does not follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a single dip of that person in the hellfire and then removing him out, he will say, by Allah, I cannot remember that on earth I have ever enjoyed. Likewise, the person who suffers but follows the way of Allah on the day of judgment, a simple dip in Al Jannah when he is removed from there and asked, "Have you ever suffered?" He will say, "By Allah, I have never suffered." So my brothers and sisters, please do not live on campus with regrets. Do not let your years on campus be wasted on distractions. The shaitan is not a lean person. The shaitan will not allow you. Always, he is going to look for ways to distract you from the way of Allah. But whenever you remember, you seek refuge. You seek for protection from the shaitan. And inshallah, Allah is going to protect you from there. Now, having said all of this, now I would like to give a call to action. Now, let me start by asking, if you graduate today, what will remain of your Islamic footprint on campus? Will anyone say, this brother or this sister helped me pray, this sister encouraged me to wear hijab, or this student strengthened our Muslim student society on campus? You don't need to be rich or famous to leave any legacy. Sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, just a kind word can mean a legacy. A shared book, a small program, just like this program. Usually, I was telling Sister Jamila that I prefer to maintain a low profile. But with time, I have learned that from the little you are going to tell someone, you never know how far what you are going to say is going to make an impact on someone's life. So a kind word. Always when you are invited to give a kind word, come forward, give a kind word. You never know how far that kind word is going to take someone to. Have you ever tried sharing a book which is going to benefit someone? Have you ever tried of organizing a small program or a cycle of remembrance, or even helping to organize some Jumaat prayers? These are all deeds one can live on. So how do we go about this? Maybe I should conclude by giving that. How do you plan to give this? Please, from today, just make it in your mind that I want to start by supporting one Islamic initiative before I graduate from campus. Or you could say, from today, inshallah, I'll pick it up on myself to mentor at least one younger student. Or you could just simply say, okay, I have read a book like Sifatul Salah, so to an extent, I know how to pray the way the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one should pray. So let me share this beneficial language or this beneficial knowledge through some notes, through some resources, or through some reminders. Alhamdulillah, we all have Android phones in our hands now. You can just make it a snappy status. On your status, you can just say, today I want to show us how to perform ablution the way the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs ablution. Someone you never think will view your status will just view it on your status, and it's going to benefit him. So to make a final conclusion, my brothers and sisters, please always remember that your degree you are going to get on campus will fade. One day, one time, that degree is going to fade. Even if for nothing, it's going to fade when you leave the world, because nobody is going to inherit your certificate. Nobody is going to inherit your degree. So technically, that is not a legacy you are leaving, because your certificates are going to gather dust. But the deeds you do for Islam will echo in eternity. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved of people to Allah are those who are the most beneficial to others. Khairun nas, mayyan fa'un nas. So wherever you are, you should always try and be beneficial to people. I know some people are going to say, when I want to admonish people, they make jest of me. They say all sorts of words to me. But please, we should not look at that. In an authentic hadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer that lives with people and have patience upon what people are doing to him that he dislikes is better than a mu'min who do not mingle with people, talk less of even having patience over what people do to him. خير الناس من يخالط الناس ويصبر على آذاهم. You mingle with people and then you exercise some level of patience regarding the ill treatment they are going to render to you. So, my brothers and sisters, I'm pleading that every one of us should strive to be that person that is beneficial to others. By doing that, you leave behind a light and not a shadow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you torchbearers of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your university years a witness for you and not against you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to leave legacies of charity, legacies of knowledge, and guidance that will shine on the day when nothing will help us except His mercy. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you very much, Sister Sakina. This is a very interesting talk, as if it should not end. I've learned and you've reminded me of so many things that I don't even know where to start from. Actually, I don't know how other people felt. But one other thing is that now I'm not even able to know. Are you a professor of pharmaceutical sciences or you have become professor of Islamic studies? Huh? MashaAllah. Before, let me open the floor for people to ask questions. If they have comments or questions, there are already comments on the chat of people saying this is a wonderful presentation and they would like to have it. So this is a recorded session. So we'll have the recordings and it's already on YouTube. So once we are done, it will be uploaded to the YouTube. So if anybody has a question, you can either write it on the chat or you can just unmute and ask your questions. Do we have any question for Sister Sakina or comments? Okay, so if we don't have, then we'll just thank her and then we might round up the session. So before we round up, I can see some of our sheikhs are there, like our center manager, Malam Awal Zahiru, is here. I don't know whether he has any comments to tell us. I can see Anaima. I don't know whether that's our national president from Iman, whether it's the same Naima or there's another Naima. Sister Sarah too is Hak. And all the other sisters and brothers, we really thank you for coming. These are the few I can see on the Zoom. I'm sure others might have joined through the YouTube link. So, Malam, do you have any comment for us? Are you there? Or Sister Naima?
Thank you. Thank you very much, sisters, for this wonderful presentation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. And I wish if you continue organizing something similar to this. And I wish if the entire IOU students has have an opportunity to join this program, because it is very useful, very beneficial. As you know, or as you state, professor is always a professor, whether from chemistry or from Islamic or from anywhere, professor is always a professor. So, jazakumullahu khairan. Well done.
Thank you very much. That was our center manager for the whole of the Plateau State International Open University. Sister Naima.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sister Jamila, thank you so much for finding this presentation worthy for the student in the campus. I sincerely appreciate Sister Sakina, because actually, if to say we have been having a lot of lectures like that, by now, I'm sure our children, our sisters, will have been in a far, far better position of doing a lot of work for Islam. And actually, this is a fantastic lectures. Actually, I was late in the lectures, but I have grabbed a lot of things, which almost make me to think otherwise, that we have lost a lot of things that we need to do before even this time. And alhamdulillah, we have had people now like you that can be able to organize something that is beneficial to the Ummah. May Allah reward you and continue to uplift you in doing all this work. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's the national president of the Iman Sisters Forum. That's the Islamic Medical Association Forum. Thank you very much, Ma. So is there any comment from any sister or brother, or you just want to say a thank you, or you have any question before we round up? Okay, so in the absence of any comments or questions, we sincerely thank our sister, Professor Sakina Abdullahi, for this lecture. And then she should not be tired of us. We would like to hear more from her. So when we come pleading for more lectures, she should please accept our invitation. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming to attend this session. Sister Sarah is Haq, if you are here, can you give us the closing prayer, please? Sister Sarah. Okay, there's a brother that wants to give the closing prayer.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please. I can see Sister Sarah has unmuted, but we can't hear her.
Okay. If you give us, oh, I should give.
Yes, you can give us the closing prayer, please.
Is the brother ready?
No, you are the one giving us.
Okay. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muhammad
kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali.
Okay, so I don't know when we'll see the Amin, because she's actually muted now. So maybe we'll just conclude by saying Amin. So Sister Maha, who is our student committee officer, we really thank and appreciate you for making time to organize and then attend the session together with us. A lot of people missed your earlier introduction and introduction to IOU, but I'm sure people will have the recordings and then it will be there on YouTube. Do you have any last words for us? Are you there, Sister Maha?
Yes,
Jazakallahu khair, Sister Mariam, and Jazakallahu khair to everyone attending the session today. And may Allah make it Professor Sakina's address to us most beneficial for us. Ameen.
So thank you very much. So we'll have another session on the 13th and 14th. We hope people will endeavor to attend. We'll also circulate the flyers after this. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.